الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث القدسي النظر سهم من سهام إبليس مسموم من تركها مخافتي أبدلت بها إيمانا يجد حلاوته في قلبه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions the advice of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. According to some commentators, he was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But according to the majority, he was not a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, but a very pious person. And the fact that he is mentioned in the Quran Sharif itself highlights that he was a very great person. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with tremendous wisdom, which Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ آتِيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ That we granted Luqman alayhi salam hikmah. We granted him wisdom. So the Quran Sharif is testifying to the wisdom that he had, which Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. So a person whose wisdom is being endorsed in the Quran Sharif, obviously his advice will be very, very deep, very pertinent for all times. So one is the advice that he gave to his son, which is recorded in the Quran Sharif, which Allah Ta'ala has preserved till Qiyamah. But apart from that, on one occasion he said to his son, that over time I have given you 4,000 advice. 4,000 pieces of advice I have given you. And today I am selecting 4 from those 4,000. Now this is the selection of a person whose wisdom the Quran Sharif testified to. To start off with, he gave that advice, so it will be full of wisdom. And then, like from the milk, you take out the butter and the cheese. So now he's selecting out of this 4,000, taking the butter out of the milk. So this would be the very essence of it all. It would be a summary of all that 4,000. These advices are pertinent to us all at all times, but some of these advices are very specifically pertinent to us in this time of the year. So therefore this is the context in which we have to understand. Everything is pertinent to us, but some of these things are even more applicable to us at this time. So therefore this is the need that we should be taking these advices deep down in our heart and applying them in our lives. Any case, he then addressed his son and said to him, the first advice he gave to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي مَجَالِسِ النَّاسِ فَاحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ When you are in the gatherings of people, when you are in company, when you are with others, then be careful about your tongue. Look after your tongue. That your tongue is an extremely delicate organ of the body. It can be a means of tremendous good. It can also bring tremendous difficulties and harm and destruction also. It is this tongue that sometimes becomes a source of encouragement to somebody. It takes a person far away in life. It is the same tongue that sometimes in a fit of anger, a person issues the 3 talaqs and the damage is done permanently. It is this tongue sometimes in that whatever mood the person is in, he utters words of kufr and then doesn't even give any thought to what he just blurted out. And his iman is rendered null and void. And Allah forbid if moth comes in that interim before he realizes what he's done and renews his iman, then his moth will come on kufr even though he might have been sitting in the masjid. This is how delicate this tongue is. And this happens from time to time. People make these kind of very dangerous statements. There's some issue, there might be an issue between husband and wife sometimes, and somebody blurts out something which tantamounts to kufr. Sometimes there's an inheritance matter, and somebody says, leave all this Quran laws aside, I want what my father's will says. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Leave all this Quran, it's kufr. Sometimes a person says, this interest is not something that's applicable in this time, that was there, it's left for another time. The law of the Quran Sharia doesn't apply in this time and age. We need to be very, very careful about what we say and how we say it. Otherwise we could be destroying our iman in that one statement. So nevertheless, this is the first advice he gave him. إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي مَجَالِسِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. Look after your tongue. And it is this tongue by which a person on the one side can gain tremendous rewards. He recites one Subhanallah. In the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Subhanallah, it fills the scales of good deeds with rewards. Subhanallah walhamdulillah tamla'an aw qala tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal ard. Subhanallah walhamdulillah, this much the person says, depending on the level of ikhlas, how sincerely he is saying it, how deep from his heart he is saying it, the rewards can fill up the space between the heavens and the earth. This is how much the tongue can earn. And then on the other side, it is the same tongue that will dish out his rewards to others. That ghibat he made, he was speaking ill of others, backbiting them. On the day of Qiyamah, in lieu of this, the rewards that he earned will be dished out to others. So this tongue earns it, Allah forbid this tongue loses it also. That vulgarity that he spewed out of his tongue and thought nothing about it. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks about the pauper, the person who will come on the day of Qiyamah, a complete pauper. He had earned huge amounts of good deeds. He had been doing tremendous good. But وَيَأْتِي قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا. The first thing mentioned in that Hadith Sharif, he has also come in the condition that he swore at so-and-so. Swore at this person, swore at that person, swore at that employee, swore at that servant, swore at anyone and everyone, and just took it as this is part of language. But on the day of Qiyamah, the reality of that becomes apparent. All that Hajj, that Umrah, that Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that whatever striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala, whatever other charity he gave, whatever good things he gave, he sees others taking the rewards of that and going. In lieu of what? In lieu of those vulgarities that he was spewing out. So this tongue is an extremely delicate limb which needs to be carefully guarded. And therefore, this is that very important advice Luqman Salatu Wasalam gave to his son. The first thing at the top of the list, out of this 4,000 advice that he gave over time, and he's selecting those advices now, the cream of the crop, at top of the list he's saying, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي مَجَالِسِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. Look after your tongue. Beware of what you speak. Think before you speak. Very nicely it is said in Urdu, پہلے تول پھر بول. First measure it, meaning consider it. Think about what's going to be the impact of this. Is it going to shatter somebody's heart, or is it going to bring happiness to somebody's heart? Is it going to be a means of making or breaking? So the first advice he gave to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي مَجَالِسِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. The second advice he gave to him, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِي بُيُوتِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ بَصَرَكَ. When you are in the homes of people, look after your gaze. Look after your gaze in the homes of people. Why the homes of people? Because we are talking about a time and era where outside the home, everybody was so conscious about covering themselves correctly. Any woman that came out was covered from head to toe in such a way that there was no chance of anybody casting a wrong glance at her. Unfortunately, now the whole system and the whole situation is far from that. And it's no more confined to anybody's home. Where in the 2x2 home, if a person went as a visitor, it was possible that the parda could be compromised in some way. So he was being given this special advice. Look, if you ever go to somebody's home, be careful about your gaze. Don't compromise this. But now this is anywhere and everywhere. This is whether he's on the person is on the street, whether he's in a business place, whether he's anywhere. Because of this immorality that has become the norm. At that time, the morality was the norm. Now the shamelessness in everything, in dressing, in mannerism, in conduct, in how people interact, shamelessness has become the norm. And because it has become so widespread, shamelessness has been accepted as normal. Shamelessness has become normal. And if a person wants to adopt that haya, he wants to maintain the segregation between males and females, he wants to keep things separate in a wedding, in a nikah, in a family gathering, then that shame and haya has become abnormal. And this is what has been foretold to us in the Hadith Sharif, that among the signs of Qiyamah, when good will be seen as evil, evil will be seen as good. The person wants to do the right thing, something wrong with you. And those who are doing the wrong, everything seems right with them. So in any case, this advice he gave to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي بُيُوتِ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ بَصَرَكْ, that when you are in the homes of people, in other words, now it anywhere and everywhere, look after your gaze. Again, bearing in mind, these are the 4,000 advices that he gave over time, he's selecting the very, very few most important aspects, which will open the door for progress in everything else. Now this advice about looking after the gaze, outwardly it might just seem something, by the way, just one of those things, but the person with this wisdom, the wisdom which the Quran Sharif testifies to, and he is saying, number two on the list, out of 4,000, look after your gaze. Because the damage that this wrong glance can cause is beyond imagination. It's taken for granted. It's among the scourges of the time. It is a greater pandemic than HIV and whatever else. But it is taken as something just by the way. Whereas the damage that this can cause to a person's heart, to his iman, this is beyond imagination. In the Hadith Qudsi, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Rasulullah ﷺ relates from Allah Ta'ala that this gaze, the haram glance, annadhru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum, that this haram glance, the evil glance, the lustful glance that a person looks at somebody with, this is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. In the previous days when the weapons were arrows generally, bows and arrows and other similar things, so one is a person, an arrow was shot at him. It's possible that it missed him, it just scraped him, he might get saved, nothing will happen to him. But sometimes that arrowhead will be dipped in poison. If it's dipped in poison, if it doesn't hit him, it just barely just touches him, scrapes him, that too will be fatal. It'll kill him. And that is what Allah Ta'ala is saying in this Hadith Qudsi, that this is a poisonous arrow of shaitan, which shoots directly into the heart of the person who's casting that haram glance. Now one glance, 200, 300, Allah knows how many. What becomes the condition of that heart? In the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about two kinds of hearts. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. On the one side, one kind of heart, Allah Ta'ala speaks about that heart which Allah Ta'ala has opened out for Islam, for deen, for iman. That heart is filled with nur. That's the one side. And the other side of the equation is فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The one side is that heart which is opened out, which feels so easy to move towards righteousness. If it's a time of Fajr Salah, that heart is just waiting. Waiting from before Fajr Salah. That heart is open for deen, for iman, for the amal of iman. This is sharh sadr. That heart has been expanded for iman. So it's expanded for the amal of iman. At the time of Salah, that heart just moves towards Salah. That heart is inclined towards tilawat of the Quran Sharif. That heart is inclined towards zikr, tasbihat. That heart is inclined towards doing something good for deen. So that's the one side of the heart. Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And the other side is that heart which has become hardened. And now it cannot even take the name of Allah Ta'ala. Ask the person to sing some immoral song, he's ready. But spend few minutes, it's a day of Jumu'ah, spend a few minutes in the house of Allah Ta'ala, reciting Durood Sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person recites one Durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with 10 rewards and raises his position 10 stages, etc. So many great rewards. But that becomes very difficult because the heart has become hardened, like the ground that is very hard. Nothing can grow out of it. So this heart that becomes hardened, now it's no more inclined towards righteousness. It's only inclined towards evil. Like that hard ground, it can very easily bring out thorny weeds. Thorny weeds come out of that hard ground very easily. All over you'll see it, thorny weeds. But anything productive, anything that would be good, that's nowhere to be found. So this becomes the condition of that hardened heart. And among the things that hardens this heart most is this haram glance. Among the things that hardens it, this is the poisonous arrow of shaitan, that this heart becomes hardened. Now the person's heart is not inclined towards righteousness, and it's just inclined towards evil, towards sin, towards vice. And among the times that this becomes the great problem for many a person is this time of the year, when people are in the so-called holiday mood, and because it's a holiday, so everything becomes lax. Then the person's, all his inhibitions just drop, everything becomes very casual, very lax, very easy. So even deen, now the person becomes lax, that he's got nothing, no other responsibilities in terms of dunya maybe, so now he believes or feels that there's no responsibility in deen also. So now he goes and puts himself deliberately in the midst of all the nudity and vice. And then he expects to be able to guard his gaze, and he expects not to have this impact on his heart. And he says, well, everybody else is enjoying life, so why should I get left out? But if everybody else is harming themselves, everybody else is burning themselves, should I also put myself in the midst of that fire? And many a person, mashallah, he was very conscious of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, very regular with his salah, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif daily, making zikr, tasbihat, ready to strive in the path of Allah ta'ala, do many other good things, come the so-called holiday period, and suddenly thereafter there's a whole switch off. And suddenly his salah is gone, there's no tilawat, now he's suddenly looking at haram on the phone, he's glued to other evils. What happened? He says, I don't know what happened. What happened is you put yourself in the midst of all the vice and evil and nudity, and felt, well, everybody's here, so I should be here also. Well, it's the time to be on the beach, it's the time to be in all the fairs and wherever else, where everybody is there to dress to kill. So life must carry on. You can't become too serious in life. But we have to be very serious about protecting our iman. We have to be very serious about protecting the heart. That's an extremely serious matter. Because Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Woe, destruction to those hearts that have become hardened from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And among the things that hardens his heart most is his haram glance. So this is a time of the year that a person has to become even more cautious, even more careful, and save himself from those environments that cause him to slip and fall into these vices, into these evils. This is not the time to be in places of fitna, because the fitna has the ability of grabbing a person. In the Hadith Sharif it comes that closer to Qiyamah, the fitnas will be such that the person who is standing, the person who is sitting is safer than the person standing. And the person standing is safer than the person walking, because the extent of motion, it will make it easier for him to fall in the fitna. And it comes to this point, man istashrafahu, the person who merely peeks at it, it will grab him. The person peeks at the fitna. He says, well, everything seems to be a very happy and very joyous occasion out there. Everybody seems to be going to have a very great time there. Let me go see what's happening there. Maybe I'll pick up some bargains. He'll go to just peek at it, he'll get grabbed by the fitna. Allah knows best how we live. And those in the social field and those who are dealing with issues, they will tell you how many marriages break up in the time of holidays. Or how many marriages get into serious trouble. Because everybody got involved in fitna. And that fitna has a direct impact on the heart. And the heart turns away from halal, it just becomes inclined towards haram. So the person's halal spouse also, the heart is now totally disinclined. And now the heart is inclined towards all the haram that he was looking at. So this is a very, very fundamental advice. And this is not just Luqman salatu wasalam giving this advice. Obviously a person with that wisdom the Quran Sharif testifies to, he's drawing it from the Quran Sharif. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives a very direct and explicit command قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gazes and to protect their chastity, because both are directly linked. If the gaze is protected, the chastity will be safe. And if the gaze is not protected, the chastity is in deep danger. And in the Quran Sharif, generally, the male gender is used to address everybody. But when it comes to this command, Allah Ta'ala separately addresses the woman. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ. Say to the believing woman also to lower their gazes. Now they're going to be in the midst of all the fitna as well. What gaze they going to lower? They also going to get involved in zina of the eyes. And in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, zina al-ayni an-nadar. That the zina of the eyes is looking at haram. So this is an extremely important aspect for the protection of our iman, the protection of our amal, protection of our heart, to save ourselves from that fitna, that we stay far away from the places of fitna. We stay far away from the environments that lead a person to this kind of evil and sin. And obviously this fitna is not confined to any place nowadays. That fitna has unfortunately come in the palm of every person. We have to be super conscious. And therefore, this is something to be very, very careful about, that how we use these devices. Otherwise, Allah forbid, in that few moments a person can destroy all the good that he's been doing. In any case, this was the second advice Luqman salatu wasalam gave to his son. Just to quickly go through the rest of it. The third advice he gave to him, إِذَا كُنْتَ عَلَى الْمَائِدَ فَحْفَظْ بَطْنَكَ. Then when you are eating, watch your stomach. I mean, eat how much you need to eat. Don't overeat. Now this was the advice actually. Don't overeat. But now the advice has to start one step behind. That first watch what you eat. Make sure, number one, it is halal. It's not just a halal sign that you're going by. Just because the words halal appear somewhere, that's 100% fine. The word halal alone doesn't mean anything. Years ago, one person was traveling, this was in the apartheid days, he was traveling somewhere in the Free State. There were no Muslims living there at that time. And he happened to pass by and stop at some place and went to buy something. He sees one big sign there, halal. English written there, halal. So he got very curious, there's no Muslims living in this whole place. And this person got a halal sign here, what is this all about? So he asked this person, an Afrikaner person that was there, he asked him, what is this, what does this mean? So he says, well, I don't know what it means, but it's a lucky charm. He says, ever since I put this, my business has increased. The people passing by, they see it and they think everything is fine. Now that which is consumed, even if it's consumed without deliberately consuming haram, but if it is not halal, it's going to have an effect. Because poison is poison, whether a person realized it's poison or he did it by mistake, poison will cause its harm. Haram food is poison, spiritual poison. It will do its job. It will kill the spirituality in a person. So this was the third advice he gave him. The fourth advice he gave, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. When you are in salah, then look after your heart. Keep your heart totally now focused towards Allah Ta'ala. Forget about everything outside. When you say Allahu Akbar, throw everything else behind you. And now you focus on Allah Ta'ala alone. Not that bring everything else from outside inside. So these were the four advices he gave to him. This is all, each one is a detailed discussion on its own. The first was looking after the tongue, that don't misuse the tongue. And then the second was looking after the gaze. And the third aspect was that to check what one eats and also not to overeat. And then the fourth aspect was that when in salah, look after your heart. Obviously, this does not mean that a person is only looking after his heart and performing the salah haphazardly. Correctly performing the salah, but the soul of the salah is the heart. And then after having said this to him, he said, well, I have two more advices for you. Two more advices to wrap it all up. He said, two things don't remember, and two things don't ever forget. Two things don't ever remember. Number one, don't ever remember your favors to people. You've done some favor to somebody, you did it for Allah Ta'ala, you got your reward from Allah Ta'ala. So don't destroy it by reminding the person, and don't remember it yourself also. So don't remember your favors to people, because you already got the compensation for that from Allah Ta'ala. And don't remember the ill treatment of others to yourself. One is, if there is some recoverable right, you want to claim it, by all means, within the correct procedures and so on, in a dignified manner, you're entitled to that. But when there's something that's not, there's nothing to recover there, somebody said something which was out of turn, it's wrong. But carrying that baggage and walking around, what's going to do to anybody? Forget about it, you'll make your own heart lighter. Otherwise you keep carrying this baggage, you are the one that's getting crushed under the weight of this. So lighten your heart, forget about it. Don't remember the ill treatment of others to you. And then the other two things he mentioned, which is again very, very pertinent for all times, and even more so pertinent when we become lax in the kind of so-called holiday mood. He said, don't ever forget two things. Number one, don't ever forget Allah. Remember, Allah is watching it all the time. Allah is aware of everything. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ Allah Ta'ala knows the deception of the eye and even what the heart conceals. What a person is cooking up in his heart, Allah Ta'ala knows that also. Where a person is going, Allah Ta'ala knows. Whether he is in some far distant land, in some country where he feels nobody knows him now, so he is now free to do what he wants, whether he is behind some closed doors, wherever he may be, Allah is aware. Allah Ta'ala knows. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is all powerful also. Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us from his azab and chastisement. That when a person becomes bold on the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, then he is treading on very dangerous ground. So this is the first thing he mentioned. Always be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. When a person is conscious of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah he will remain obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So don't ever forget Allah Ta'ala. And the second thing he mentioned, don't ever forget death. If a person is conscious of Allah Ta'ala, inshallah that will keep him safe from every place that he shouldn't be. And if that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is not where it should be, then the least is he's conscious of death, that too will become a great barrier between him and sin. That I want to go there, can I risk being in such a place where my mouth can come there suddenly? Has not this happened before? That people were picked up, Allah forbid, from the bed of zina, their janazah was picked up from there. Allah forbid, janazas were picked up out of the gambling dens. So death can come and strike at any person at any time. We have no idea when our time comes. And this is that very, very important advice Luqman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to his son. Don't ever forget death. Always be conscious. Death can come at any time. We can be the most healthiest person, can be in the happiest moment of time, can be in any good condition, and death can come and just separate the person from all that in one moment. So the person who keeps conscious of this, inshallah, this will become a great barrier between him and sin. So in this time of the year, when everybody becomes very, very casual about things, very lax about everything, and wants to now try and so-called make up for times that he didn't involve himself in many things, this is a very important thing to think about first. That can I risk that my mouth comes there? And this is Shaitan's plot. That Shaitan says that all this while you went here, there and everywhere, what is going to happen to you? It won't happen to you. It can happen to anybody else but not you. That's Shaitan's way of deceiving a person. Luqman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's advice is for us at all times, and more so in this time, that we should be always remembering death. Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on Iman, take us on Iman, and raise us on the day of Qiyamah to the Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.